Today, talking about build or bust. This is building the church. This is building life. This is following Jesus Christ and allowing him to move. Takes a while to build, doesn't it? You can tear something apart quickly. We got to watch our words. I'm going to talk about unity today. I'm going to use an example. We spent months and a lot of money on the stage. Can I tell you it was discouraging to hear negative once we did it? And I got to admit, I am going to be raw. When I hear people complaining, I say, get a life. Now, is this going to be the final? Some people want to decorate. You know why I don't want to decorate? I want you to look at that screen when we do things like this. I don't want you looking at angels or crosses or wooden pallets or stained glass, which a lot of people said once we moved the room around, they said, good, I got so distracted by the stained glass. I want us to look at the Word of God. I'm not going to put smoke machines up here. If you're into that, God bless you. We're here for Jesus. And what I want to talk about today is building the house of God. Amen. Ephesians, Paul says, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord. Literally, the man is in jail. That has to be the cry of my life. I'm a prisoner for the Lord. I don't belong to myself anymore. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this. But it's not me. It has to be God. And I want you all to search your souls today and to say, Lord, am I your prisoner? Or do I just visit you on weekends? So Paul says, I therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, wretched sinners. Your word tells us the wages of sin is forgiveness if you're a nice person. Because you accept everybody. No, the wages of sin is death. But there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When I said to you on August 14th, 1979, I said, Jesus, forgive me, I am a sinner. My life is yours. I instantly had my name written in your book of life. Today, Lord, let us not play fitting you into our lives, but rather let you be our life, Lord. In your name, amen. Tell you what, this has been a raw weekend. Friday night, we went to see Sound of Freedom, which Foster Life put on. It's about a small, poor, rural church in Texas that went all out for the foster system and all the heartaches they went through. They answered God's call. No, I'm not here saying you have to be a foster parent, but I am saying you should pray about it. We did, and we're old. And God said, no, which didn't break my heart, but I still pray for it because I can't be my own. Then I go to the funeral for Grace Hinderleiter. Wow. You know, my daughter was friends with Karen, the mother, in high school till we moved, and so, oh, Lord, And God was lifted up in that service. It was powerful how much Jesus was proclaimed. Then the call last night, I said, Lord, I need you. We need you. I want to speak life to people. You know, and I'm reminded of when I went to Copenhagen, I had met with the pastor, Jeff Allen. He took me out to this piece of land. He goes, yeah, I'm thinking about maybe we should buy this. So he left and I took over. And I remember one morning, it was a Monday morning, I parked my car. It was nice and sunny, which is a rarity up there. And I just sat, went outside and said, Lord, do you want us to own this land? Is this your future? And I just prayed and I just sat before the Lord and I prayed and I just knew something inside me. God said, buy the land, but you ain't going to build the building, which I knew because it was not my forte. So there was an old house on the property. And this old woman had lived there with 50-some cats. So I knew it was possessed. So what I did was we went to the fire department and said, hey, do you want, and if you like cats, we'll pray later. So we went to the fire department and said, hey, would you like to burn this down for us? Now this house, most of the boards are like this. This house was built like this. They lit it on fire. Cat came running out. The guy across the street had stored some tires in there unbeknownst to us, and boy, did that make a mess. So an hour later, that baby was gone. It was gone. How about Thursday? It's Thanksgiving. You cook, and you cook, and you cook, and you're done in 20 minutes. That's life. Building up versus tearing down. I want to build up. I said this in Copenhagen, I'm going to say it here. I'm going to build with people that say, why not? I'm going to ignore the people that say, why? Oh, I will listen to you. And I'm open to any suggestion. And if you come to me in love and say, hey, why are we doing this? I will listen to you. But I'm talking about the habitual complainers. Because they ain't from God. And this is what Paul is writing about. I look at these verses in chapter 4 of Ephesians, how to be a kingdom builder. I want to build God's kingdom. I'm at New Covenant Community Church, but I am here to build the kingdom of God. And I love the fact that Paul writes this. He's in jail. He is a prisoner for the Lord. He knows his life's going to come to an end. Oh, then it's going to begin. I think we're not going to be of the Lord. My theme is going to be the Neil Young song, Long May You Run. Because, man, I'm going to run forever. Me and Jesus. Now, Neil, I don't know if he's going to be there. I do pray for the man, but I'm going to be there. Now, walk this way. I was going to put up a picture of Steven Tyler. If you don't know what I mean, you're too young. But no, we're going to walk this way. We're going to walk the way that God wants us to. And I'm not trying to step on toes today, but maybe you need your toes stepped on. First thing we need is we need a strong foundation. You need the sand. If Jesus isn't your foundation, when the storms come, you fall apart. But if he is, when the storms come, you could be an emotional wreck. But you know in your knower, as Paul Wegener would say, that God's got you. And I want to encourage you today. Where are you with Jesus Christ? For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know, I've shared this before, but I remember it was August of 2002, and I'm speaking at a breakfast in Copenhagen, and I already told them I wasn't going to come and be their pastor, but I went for that anyways. And as soon as I got there, God said, guess what you're going to be doing with your life? So that day I went home, but it was before cell phones. I said, hey, Mel, funny thing happened today. You know what she said? God's will, man, we're doing it. That's what I want from us. It's God's will. I'm going to do it. You know, in the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul talks about doctrine. In the last three, he talks about duty. He talks about what is our responsibility. I love what he says. I am a prisoner for the Lord. You're not a prisoner of your opinions. You're not a prisoner of what you like and what you don't like. You're not a prisoner of how you want your schedule to go. You are a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's deep, his experience of deep spiritual freedom allowed him to do this. You could lock him away. What is he right? You can take my life, but you can't take my Jesus? How powerful is that? But he stretches, he impresses on the church, you need to walk in unity. Our outlook, our motive needs to be building the church. You know, Paul is talking to both Jewish and Gentile believers. The Jews thought you should do one thing one way. The Gentiles thought maybe another way. The Reformed thinks one way. Pentecostals think another way. One of the best things I did was go to Copenhagen, New York, because they did not know how to worship Jesus. They had an offering box in the back. By the way, ours is way in the back. And you need to give to Jesus. I almost talked on offering today, but I didn't. On tithe, but I didn't. Say amen. Amen. Okay. We got to get over ourselves. I know how I like to do church. But, I remember I was belonged to this group called North Country Ministers Fellowship. And for years, I was one of the elders. And I remember we're planning this meeting. And that group was made up of Mennonites, and extreme Pentecostals. So I remember we're talking about trying to do a meeting together. And the first one we did kind of went south quickly. So we had to kind of bring it together. And one of the other elders asked me, because I was here at the time, can you really do that? So I said, I want you all to come down to Friday, a Good Friday service for the Oswego Evangelical Alliance. We have Reformed Presbyterian, their worship is they sing the Psalms. They don't use instruments. Then we have Charismatics or Pentecostal. And you know what we do? We lay aside what we think to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So if we get over ourselves and say, you don't have to worship a certain way, it's not how you worship, it's who you worship. I used to listen to Mylon Lefevre and Broken Heart or Broken Arrow, something like that. Why? Because I was a young 20-year-old kid that got saved, and I was not going to do the Gaithers. I wasn't going to do that guy that used to sing for Billy Graham, because, excuse me, I'm driving to work. If I don't have a CD, and I'm falling asleep listening to that dude. What are some of the old other ones? Striper, is that one? I hope. Other ones. I remember we did teens one year. We took the teen group to some concert at the Landmark Theater. After about half an hour, we sit down. I mean, we're 25 and like 26. That's not bad. These teens are jumping up and down. Oh, Lord, give me the energy. But as long as you love Jesus. My dad used to listen to classic music. Guess what this old man does now sometimes? I even listen to WMHR music sometimes. Hello. Maybe I need to be delivered. Interactions can be so difficult. Isn't it appropriate to talk about it this week because you got to deal with family? Sometimes family is amazing. Sometimes they're a bunch of yahoos. But God wants us, as far as is with you, be at peace with all people. The word humble and humility occurs more than 80 times in the Old and New Testament. I think it's important to God. So Paul's roadmap for being a successful Christian is get away from yourself and get closer to Jesus. In verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Corrie ten Boom, her family in World War II hid Jews away from the Germans. They got put in a concentration camp. Her sister died. She says, be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together. One of the things John Bevere talks about, and his nickname is John Severe, so you know he tells the truth. Submission doesn't begin until you disagree. I remember I learned that when I was a young assistant pastor. I'm in my 20s. Pete Mary's the pastor, and I couldn't believe how wrong he could be. So I would have to set him straight sometimes on the ways of God, according to Bo. And he'd say, okay, let me pray about it. Leave. Slam the door. No, he never did that. So he'd pray about it. Sometimes he'd say, hey, let's tweak it. Other times he'd say, no, this is God. I got to do it this way. So I would leave his office, and I owned his decision. Because you know what the devil did every single time? He sent somebody my way that agreed with my point of view. Now, on the inside, I'm thinking, a smart person? But I would say, no, man, we're doing it that way because this is God. That's God. God is Beaumont getting over Beaumont. Can I hear an amen? Talking about God's building blocks. Humility is being modest and humble. Gentleness is meekness and gentle. No, I'm not asking you to be a wimp, but I'm asking you to treat people. Remember the thing I've used before, like God in Ghana, Joseph brought it to me. It's a wooden hand carrying an egg. That's how you treat people. Treat people delicately. Speak the truth, we're going to talk about it later, but you do it in love. Patience, that means long suffering. If you need to hear any more about that, talk to my wife after the service. But it means you got to put up with people. You know that movie, Sound of Freedom, talk about patience. You take a hardcore child in the foster service into your life. It's not a bed of roses, people, but it's a commitment from God. What am I supposed to do with my life? Bearing with one another in love means you endure. You put up with. God has a sense of humor. He's going to put us with people that irk us sometimes, but he wants us to put up with it and to love them and to move forward with them. You know, God will always put us with personalities that stretch us. It helps us to mature. You know, Paul emphasizes this because the church in Ephesus is struggling with the fact that the Gentile believers now are interacting with the Jewish believers. Like I said, I went to Copenhagen. I didn't grow up in a church. This was the only church I knew. So then I go to another church. They couldn't do life right. So God said, be quiet and watch. They worship me. They love me. So I realized, as wonderful as New Covenant is, there's other ways to do church, and that's okay. See, unity isn't uniformity. I'm not going to say you all have to dress the same. You all have to look the same. Like, for example, my personality is more quiet at times. Tim Hawkins said, you know, there's different ways to worship the Lord. The log carrier, I got severe arthritis. That's how I worship God. Some people wash windows. There's all kinds of ways of doing it when you worship. Some people don't lift your hands. You know, they still know the Lord. I remember having a teen in Copenhagen that got rebuked for not dancing at a conference. I said, that's sin, man, because you worship Jesus. Don't tell me there's a certain way to worship God. You see, verses 4 and 5 said, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You know, I've told you before, I co-officiated a Mennonite wedding. This whole side was female. This whole side was male. They don't sit together. The thing I liked about it, they don't believe in wearing ties either. Hallelujah! But they do button their top button, which drives me nuts. But I didn't say anything because I'm a man of grace. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. We are here for Jesus Christ. We're not here for my opinions. We're not here for my take on the doctrine. They're not here for how we want to do things. It's God, have your way in us. I'm tired. I don't want to drive to Albany this afternoon. But I got a God that said I want you to. So I do it. I got my new Crowder CD in the car. There's going to be football on. I'm going to do this. Why? Because I am not going to say no to God. Well, I do, but it really messes up my life. So I've learned to say yes. Can I say something? Some of you got to learn to say yes. God's knocking on your door and you are not answering it. I'm just going to be real with you. And I guarantee you one thing, your life isn't going to get better. It's going to get worse. It might be slow. You might be putting up with this message. I don't know. But God is saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you don't open the door, I'm not coming in. And when your life goes south, you can't say, geez, God, not there. You didn't open the door. We got to open the door, church. The building blocks of humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another. I hope when you read this list, you're like me and you cringe. I shared with you patience. I can't even heat my food up in a microwave when I'm hungry. So God puts me in situations where I got to be patient, bearing with one another in love. In love. We got to endure it, people. I'm tired of the country we live in. This side doesn't like this side because they didn't vote for the same person. I know Christians would never be like that, so I can talk about that today. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I'm not asking you to bow your knees, but I'm telling you to if God does. Lord, have me bow this morning. Me trying to get up, that could be a sideshow. America's Funniest Home Videos. But if God, I just want to do what God wants me to do. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. When I went to that funeral yesterday, that little girl, you saw the power. In the speakers, the people giving testimonies, and the parents, you saw broken people be able to move forward by the power of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our knees today, people. Let's give it all to God. The power of one. In 1969, there's a group called Three Dog Night. They sang one is the loneliest number there will ever be. I'm glad God doesn't believe that. God goes, I want you all to be one, as the Father and I are one. One is a powerful number when we're together. If we're here of 80 to 100, whatever individual people, we're going to sink. We all have different gifts. We all have different callings. We all have different personalities. You're here because God wants you here. And I believe every Christian needs to pray, Lord, where do you want me to go to church? Not, Lord, what fits my need? What fits my personality? Or what fits my time slot? I come to New Covenant because that guy don't talk long. We're done in an hour. Unless we have a guest speaker. Make me look good. Anyways, so one is a powerful number. There is one body, the church. Not New Covenant, not Elam, not the Alliance Church, not Reformed, not Port City Faith. One church. Jesus Christ. And I shared this before. When I first came back, Lord said to me, are you willing to bless other churches without any recognition? I did two things. I said, yes, Lord. And I said, Lord, give me help because I know my ego. Sorry, I have one. And I know it's going to really be painful sometimes. When I came back here, the Lord said, hey, you get to go through with what you did in Copenhagen with people you've known for 30 years. Because I'm a foundation builder. And when you go that way, not everybody wants to go that way. They want you to veer so they don't stay. Did I want to do that? Did I want to do that in the flesh? Mm-mm. I said, God, your way, not my way. You give me the grace to do it. Because you know what I find out with my Jesus? When he calls me to do something, he gives me the grace to do it. I might stumble and I might fall and I might, you know, whatever. There's one Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in every believer. Sorry, I'm not a second blessing person. There is one hope. If you are, that's fine. This is what I'm talking about today. We can look at things different ways. I'm amazed by some of the smartest people I know in the scriptures. They think this way about, let's say, the rapture or whatever, which isn't in the Bible, but let's use that word. And then I talk to people that think this, or Holy Spirit, or whatever. And I say, you guys are so amazingly smart, but you disagree. But it's okay to disagree. Because someday I'm going to go to heaven, I'm going to get it all right. As long as we believe and need Jesus Christ, there's one hope of your calling. That's the return of Jesus. I hope it happens, like right now. Wouldn't have to drive to Albany. I'm kidding. It has to be about Jesus. I'm excited by what God's doing. You know, Paul goes on in this chapter and he talks about some gifts and offices. Apostles, they're sent by God to pioneer the church in new areas. Prophets speak God's word in a direct and challenging way to particular situations. Evangelists share the gospel so people can understand. There's pastors and teachers to care for and teach congregations. Their responsibility of the ones I just said, and whatever gifts we have, is to equip God's people to do his work. Not the pastor's work, God's work. To do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth, growing and full of love. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. God doesn't give people gifts so that they get recognition. We're the ones that make that mistake. God gives each, you all, if you have a relationship with Christ, he's given you a gift. Maybe it's encouragement. But everything is so we build to become the church that God has called us to be. So that you encourage me and I encourage you. It says he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. I'm a young Christian. I'm going back in time, okay? I know I'm not young. I was a young Christian driving home from APW where I taught school. And I knew God spoke to me. You're to be a singer. Write song, and so, me and Myla Lefevre are going to be on the same page. Oh, it was a glorious time. So I got home and I talked to my pastor. Can you write music? Or no. Yeah, this ain't God. Okay, cool. And I left it alone. What am I trying to say? We don't always hear the right way. It's okay. Humility is needed. God gives us spiritual gifts for the purpose of building up and strengthening God's people. Every gift is to be used not for recognition, but to serve other people. I am here to help you be a better Christian. You're here to help me be a better Christian. It's a two-way street. Humility is needed so that we resist the temptation to compare gifts. And that's what a lot of times you want to say, well, why? Why am I not noticed when I'm faithful? Well, why don't I get prayed for? Why don't I get called out? Why don't I get my names up in lights? Why do I serve and I serve and I serve? But you don't notice. But he does notice. And the Bible tells us the servant works all day and he doesn't come home and sit in a lazy boy. Then he prepares dinner. God is saying, let me say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If I work for the praise of men, then I'm messed up. We can't compare our gift. Our worth is based on Jesus Christ, not on what we do or who we are. We need to step outside of our own interests. We need to be kingdom builders. Some people are building the kingdom by saying yes to foster parenting. Maybe God's speaking to some of us, hey, maybe you got to get involved in help in some way. You know, a few months ago, they have a Saturday night thing for 3 hours, I think it is, and Mel and I had this really good idea. Let's go help out. We're up to 15 minutes. I wanted to wave a white flag. I'm tired. I'm old. But we hung in there. We might even do it again. Why? My life is not about Dick Beaumont's comfort, and I like to be comfortable. I got an amazing lazy boy. But I don't want it. When I live like that, I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied. I have to do what Jesus Christ calls me to do. We need to step out of ourselves. You know, one thing I do want to talk about, speaking the truth in love, there's a difference between speaking the truth in love and being critical. I'm going to be honest. There's some people that come to me and I cringe on the inside. You shouldn't be like that. You've conditioned me that way. I'm sorry, man. I'm not making excuses for my sin. If you complain to me all the time, I am going to get a cringe on the inside. But if you got a relationship with me, then I'm going to hear what you say. James Dobson, I've said this before, when you correct your children once, say 10 good things to them. We're not like that as a country. We're not like that as a people. God is saying, let me give you the freedom I gave Paul. When you submit to the Holy Spirit, Paul knew he was going to die. He didn't sit in jail lamenting. Peter, when he got released, he was sleeping. He was in jail. It wasn't this correctional institute down the road. It says he was asleep. Why? He had the peace of God. You can take my life, but you can't take my salvation. So we need to speak the truth in a way that lifts somebody up. And when I said I'm going to build with why nots versus why, I will listen to all the whys in the world. But the point I'm making is, let's not be critical. Let's move forward. I talked gears. You know, we have a lot of people that have been seasoned saints. We're going to do things that stretch us and are not comfortable for old people. Why is that? Because we want to die. I read in the Bible. We need a multi-generational church. But I know, and yes, believe me, I've talked to three different people, and I'm praying, Lord, who's the next person? And I'm not being lackadaisical about this. But I say, Lord, it's going to stretch me. Because I like things my way. But Jesus says, I got a different way. It has to be about Jesus. The first verse, I therefore, close your eyes, a prisoner for the Lord. Are you a prisoner for the Lord? Some of you are in bondage. And you're struggling. But don't feel bad. Please. Feel encouraged. Feel convicted, which isn't being smashed down, but it's being lifted up. Because God is saying, open the door. And I'm going to move in your life in a powerful way. But I want you to make me the Lord of your life. You see, with a lot of people, he's the Savior. You rescued us from sin and we ask him to forgive us into our lives. But we have made him the Lord. That means he has to be my leader. I have to live according to the Bible, even the places that I may not like. God is saying, I'm standing at your door today. And I want you to know. You know, Paul literally gave his life to spread the gospel. The Jews and Gentile believers had to be encouraged. We need to look for ways to help the church move forward. Let's be a builder, not a buster. I've learned the hard way, forgive me, Lord, when I've spoken out of my opinion and out of my emotion, the damage is done. Let us build. Not saying we're just yes men, goodness no, but let us be builders, not busters. And as I close in prayer, I'm just going to encourage you. Please let Jesus Christ be the foundation of your life. And please have the strength and the courage as I pray to say, Lord, you show me the places that I haven't given up. Can I get real with you? Because there's places God showed me that over the weekend. And it hurt. But I'm glad he loves me enough to tell me. So Lord, we come before you. Help us to build your church, not to bust it. Help us to surrender everything to you, O Lord. There can be no other foundation than you. Of course, there can be, Lord. It won't succeed. It won't succeed. I can have the greatest relationships in the world, but without you, they're going to come to naught. I can hide myself in substance abuse, in relationships, in busyness, in food. But without you, Lord, it's nothing. For God, you still love the world. That you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have life eternal. I'm just going to wait just a few moments because I really want some of you to really let God knock on your door. To let Jesus say, hey, let's not play games anymore. I got good things for you. I thank you, Jesus, that you love us. Be glorified. I thank you for New Covenant Community Church. What an amazing place to be, Lord. We're all going to be about you, Jesus. Not about what we want, but about the Lord Jesus Christ. Be magnified today. And anybody, Lord, that needs a touch from your hand, Lord, I pray that you would touch them. I pray if they know that they shouldn't leave here without getting prayer, that they would reach out to the neighbor next to them and say, hey, would you say a quick prayer for me? It doesn't have to be the pastor or elders, Lord. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Let me get corny. And they all said, amen.